was the nights before Christmas. Despite last-minute stress, few were delivering except Walmart Express.
Stockings were hung by the fire with some care, knowing in about an hour, stuffers would soon be there.
On to the road, Walmart Express delivery went. Chock full of wondrous things in the St. Nick of time sent. Let's go!
Get express delivery in as fast as an hour, even on Christmas Eve. Orders must be placed by 4 p.m. local time on 12/24. Subject to availability. Fees and restrictions apply.
Express delivery to y'all and to all a good night. Welcome to your Walmart.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
It is my great pleasure because they're currently filling stages big and small across the country. But what actually goes into running a panto? Are they a viable business? And how do you mix creativity, consistency, and try and make a profit? I'm delighted to be joined for this week's industry review to answer those questions and a lot more by Alan Hughes. He's a presenter on Ireland AM and he's a renowned pantomime personality. Claire Tighe also joins us. She's the CEO of Theatre Works Productions out there in the Helix, I believe. And joining us on the phone from Limerick is Robert C. Kelly, a producer. And indeed, I think he's running Mother Goose at University Concert Hall down there in Limerick. So you're all very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Bobby.
And as the veteran in the room, let's call you, Alan Hughes.
The veteran, yeah.
The Maureen Potter reincarnated.
God, Maureen, yeah, for people who might remember Maureen Potter, I've been doing panto now for 33 years consecutively.
Fair play to you.
Every year since 33 years, and even during COVID. We filmed it and we put it on in a drive-in in Malahide Castle. So, yeah, 33 years. And look at me, don't I look great on
you
it?
You absolutely do. And Alan, I was just feeling for you there. Say you were saying before we came on air that you have two shows today.
Yeah, back up to the National Stadium now for a 2:30 and a 6:30 show.
You've got a busy daytime job out there in Ballymount. Yeah. You've got to juggle all of that. So this is a pressure time of the year for you, is it?
It's a pressure time of the year. It is during rehearsal time because I'm still doing Ireland AM at that time. But once the shows actually begin, Ireland AM takes a little hiatus, and then I'm back on the 7th of January. So you couldn't possibly do both of them because it would be too much work.
Yeah.
So because the rehearsals, everything that goes into it, and as Claire would know, when you're producing the show as well. So I'm learning the lines all day, being on the floor with all the actors, and then I stop that and go into meetings about the sets, the costumes.
Yeah.
What's this happening? What press are we doing? Is there interviews? All that. So it becomes this massive juggernaut of this time of year. So Ireland AM takes a little backstage.
Well, stay with us, Alan. We'll talk to you in a sec. But let's talk to Claire Tighe. Claire, in the season to put on the performance, what's your sales window? How many weeks can you knock out of it?
How many tickets can you knock out of it?
Our contract, I guess, runs from the 22nd of November through to the 12th of January, as in our shows are live then. We went on sale earlier this year. We went on sale, I think, in around June.
Right.
And so people do plan in advance for Christmas. And because they sell out as well, there's so many pantos in Ireland now, professional pantos of really high calibre, but they are all doing really good business, because it's a family entertainment, and it's such an enjoyable point of Christmas for people. So they are planning in advance. So yeah, we kind of go, hopefully, usually in around June, we go on sale.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Robert C. Kelly, again, a man well associated with quality pantomime, producer of Mother Goose at the University Concert Hall. How are things down in Limerick, Robert?
Yeah, fantastic, Bobby. We're doing really well. The business, pantomime business, was professional panto down there. It didn't exist. They had amateur panto, which still goes on elsewhere in the city. But we brought professional pantomime there. And it was a bit of a struggle the first couple of years. But, we've grown the business on and on and on. This is year 13, and we still add about 10% a year, I would say, on. So there's still headroom.
Yeah. And if you look in, if you look out into the audience, at the matinee today or the production this evening, it's about bums on seats. So it's you need to fill those seats to, I suppose, it's like any business. There's the costs versus the sales and there's the bit in the middle. So how do you maximize people you know, demand? How do you get full houses in as much as you can actually do that? What are the marketing tricks?
Oh, well, I don't know those marketing tricks, but first of all, if I'm looking out over the audience, there's something seriously wrong, because I should never be on stage, although it did happen the other night because something jammed, so I got the pleasure of going on just to fill the gap for a moment. But we go on sale in February, because we want the people come out. Ideally, I would be on sale now. I think you should, and a lot of my friends in the UK do that. They put the pantomime on sale while the current one is on, because people have such a great time, they book for next year. Nice. I think the earlier you go on sale, the better. And we've certainly done that for the last 10 years or so. We're on in February, and people buy throughout the year. Yeah. We would have sold more than half our tickets by June, I would say.
Oh, wow, that's a good place to be. Yeah.
Good place to be.
That's about cash management, Alan.
It is about cash management, but also I think, especially with our audience, we've built up a very loyal audience over the years, and you will get people who come back and families who come back year after year. And that loyalty factor is there, especially with us, because we've been going for so long, and the same with yourselves. So there definitely is that loyalty factor there.
Yeah.
And you'll see grannies who have bought the tickets, and maybe the granny has passed on, and now the daughter is buying the tickets because they want to keep that family
tradition going. Family.
And that's what it is. It's a family tradition. You can never forget that this is something, it's something magical for them for Christmas. It's memories. It's creating memories for their children and for their family. And I love to see, I was on stage last night reading it out, and there's a family been coming for 22 years through our different venues, because had different venues over the years. Unfortunately, theatres closed down and we had to move and stuff like that. So the National Stadium is brilliant for us now. We're embedded there, and we know that's going to be there.
And can I ask you, is pantomime fundamentally an Irish-British thing?
It's an Irish-UK thing.
Yeah.
The only other place that I'm aware that does panta is Malta.
Right, well, that's probably out of the British.
Yeah, so they've a panto in St. Julian's and a panto in Valletta. But basically, apart from that, as far as I'm concerned, it's only in the UK and Ireland.
Back to you, Claire. In terms of, you know, we're talking here about the pantomime because it's live at the moment, but it really is a 12-month event.
Oh, absolutely.
The work that you're doing,
yeah,
you know, you're now at the shop window stage, but all the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's a three-month kind of contract when it's really live and kicking, when we're in rehearsals and then producing the show. But to plan to get to the rehearsal stage, there's a lot that goes in. We're already talking about next year. So you have to decide on you know, your title first, and then think about casting, your set. Obviously, your budgets dictate a lot. But there's planning happening year round. It's a massive, massive contract.
Yeah,
what's wonderful about it is the employment that it gives to people within the musical theatre industry, because that's what it is. It's musical theatre, and the employment that it offers to those people. Panto is a huge employer of those talented people that would normally have to go to the UK to work in this industry.
And not only on stage, but crew as well, backstage people. Like you're talking about next year, we're already telling all the people at our show this year that we're doing Cinderella next year.
Right.
So we've decided that. So you're planning ahead like that all the time. So everybody our show knows we're doing Cinderella next year.
So there's a text in here. Where do you find the actress for pantomime? Is it a good paid gig, says Joe?
He's looking for a gig.
Is Joe looking for a gig? I found this year, I don't know, that men, it was very difficult to find men this year. I think a lot of them in the theatre world have gone to the UK. So we got Niall Sheehy back from, back from the West End to do the show this year. We auditioned, we couldn't find a strong enough actor to do The Beast. Now, there was lots of actors, but just with that, something extra. And Niall is amazing. And then Susan McFadden, who's obviously been on the West End as well. So it's just.
So would you know, Alan, who the actors and actresses are for next year as well?
We'd have a good idea.
Because I presume they have to plan their lives.
We would obviously talk to people about next year, but we've a few surprises for Cinderella as well.
There's always casting going on, and there's some people that are return cast. Like what Alan's saying, there's a lot of our audience are return members. So they love to see their family up there, as in, you know, the person that they've been coming. Look, everybody goes to see
Sammy
Alan's
Sausages
show
and Buffy.
For, come to the Helix Panto for our Lola and for Laurel, you know, and Rapunzel this year.
Yeah.
But there are people that are returning cast, and then we audition, have open calls.
And not to leave Robert out, what about Mother Goose and Faye Short?
Yeah, she's great. She's absolutely loving it and comes obviously with that long comedy history.
Bring the old fellow in or no?
He was there on the opening night. He was away working somewhere else earlier in the week, but he had a great time as well.
Yeah. So how's tell us a little bit about your production, Robert, and what's involved in terms
of... I think it's what Claire touched on. It is musical theatre. And a lot of the people who do pantomime are people who are experienced in musical theatre because it is just comedy, singing, dancing, all the elements, which a lot of shows don't have now. I mean, if you're in a proper West End musical, there won't be a huge amount of comedy in that. There might be some, but not a lot. Whereas what you have is really strong comics, really strong singers, and really strong dancers. I think people denigrate pantomime or they dismiss it. It is actually an extremely difficult thing to do well. I mean, people can do it and it's not great, but what we do, you know, the level we're working at, it is really, really difficult to do. And I think Ireland has an example for such a small country. It has a lot of really top-class pantomime.
No, it's I'm looking at the text line here. Another one coming in says, I really didn't think I liked panto, but then you bring small children and it'll absolutely change your mind.
Well, Bobby, see, this is the thing that I love about it. And being on the stage, I love it. This is the first time maybe children have seen a live show. They're on their tablets. They're watching screens. This is the first interaction with a live show. And even with Beauty and the Beast in the stadium, it's a story they know, so they can come along and join in. They know Belle, and they come dressed up as Belle. You know, they come in the beautiful Belle dress. And that is, to me, if they're loving that and they light up. And that could be an introduction to them maybe getting involved in the music or theatre and that. But just generally then wanting to go to theatre, which is a good thing in Ireland because we need people to go to theatre in Ireland.
And what's wonderful about Panto as well is that there's so much creativity that goes on. Even the script is written new every year, you know, and so there's so much creativity. Like, it's not just picking something off a shelf and doing it. There's so much that goes into
What's the sweet spot in terms of the length of the production, in terms of holding the audience attention,
giving value for
money? What do people want?
Every panto is different. And I think that's what's wonderful about the amount of pantos that are in Dublin now, professional pantos. Everybody has a different take on what panto is, and our audiences respect that. But for me, it's like about an hour in first half and an hour second half. That's kind of
what the intermission is. Tell me about the science behind the intermission. Does it allow you regroup, reorganize, sell stuff out at the bar?
Alan just pointed.
Selling the merchandise. I agree with that, and I'd say Robert would be the same. I think for children's attention, 55 minutes to an hour each half is perfect, and they love that. And you get them, like we do our daddy dance, and get everybody, all the daddies on the stage at the end. So I just think I think you've captured them an hour, 55 minutes, an hour in each half. I think if it goes like an hour 15, an hour 20, they're gone. They lose.
And they're all starting to go to the toilet.
Do any of you have no phone policies? I think if you don't, you should have. Live events are being ruined by phones.
We always have phones. The only time we would say to people that is when all the daddies are on the stage, we'd say then you can film the daddies doing the daddy dance. Then you can mortify the daddy again when they're like, you know.
So that's the way we do it.
Do say at the start.
It's nice that sometimes people take pictures of finales, and which is great. You know, during the show, people take out phones to try and record, we ask them not to.
What sort of sizes are the cat? If you add the actors, the technical people, the stagehands, what sort of numbers of people are involved on a daily basis?
We'd have about 40 people.
That's a lot.
We'd have about 40 people, including the children and cast and crew and everything. There's 40 checks written every week.
And then there's theatre staff as well.
With the theatre staff, we're talking about in the immediate production, there'd be about 40 people.
Robert, do you know what you're planning to do next year?
We're doing Cinderella. We did a 3-year plan and we follow that through.
Ooh, because there's another plan. Two Cinderellas. I'm not sure about that.
A Limerick and Dublin Cinderella. That's
no harm.
On the
very west coast and they're on the very east coast. I don't think there's going to be much competition there.
Be interested in seeing the west of the Shannon comparisons. Yeah, very good.
We haven't quite decided yet. The last few years we've kind of strayed from the beaten track and gone different types of titles.
Haven't you?
So I'm trying to keep with that. I think our audiences are enjoying that because it allows our storytelling to go a little bit off centre, which we really enjoy. So I think I've decided what we're doing, but I haven't announced it.
All right, okay. Just keeping us in suspense.
Suspend us.
There is, I said I read out all the texts. There is two that say, Bobby, I could see you in a pantomime. I'm not so sure.
Bobby, I tell you, the ugly sister, you can either do it in Limerick or Dublin next year. I've a dress that will fit you
That's
perfectly.
That's why I'm on radio, folks. You don't want people looking at me. I can tell you that for nothing. But look, I think it's a great industry and it's truly fueled by creative people with passion, with energy, and who work bloody hard.
And that's the thing we do, and everybody works so hard. You're doing two shows a day. There's not very many shows that do two a day every day. So you're giving it 110% every performance because you have to.
And you have to love it to do that.
Oh, yeah.
And I think everybody who's involved in the panto industry absolutely loves theatre. And it's our chance each year to give, you know, employment to musical theatre people. And we absolutely love it and love creating. Mm. So that's what's really important.
And I'd say by the time mid-January comes, you guys are all ready for a holiday.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
We're out
again. Oh, yes, we are. That's already planned. Yeah. I mean, but it is something that I love it. I wouldn't be on stage. Yeah. It's like people ask me, why have you done Ireland AM for 25 years? It's the same reason that I've been panto for 33 years. Mm. Still loving it. Still loving that reaction you get from the children and the audiences. And we're having a great time up the National Stadium. So panto.ie. There you go.
The go on. Rapunzel, the Helix. We're sold out, though.
Well, look, you're all great ambassadors and salespeople, indeed, for your craft. I want to thank my guests, Claire Tai, CEO of Theatreworks, Alan Hughes, again, legendary presenter there, and Beauty and the Beast man, Robert C. Kelly down there in Limerick, keeping the treaty going. So thank you for, as I say, being great ambassadors for your craft. Get out there if you can. There's probably no tickets left.
Oh, yes, there is.
Get out there and support these wonderful people. Oh, no, there's not.
And Bobby, I have a wig and a dress for you anytime.
Thank you again.
Thanks, Bobby.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.